Thank you for that speech. Given that nominal wages tend to be stickier downwards, is it possible that the increasing informalisation is a de facto reduction in wages? And secondly, is it possible that the relationship between informalisation and GDP per capita is perhaps non-linear, that maybe in 50 years, once this surplus labour is absorbed, we'll see a reduction in formalisation?
It's very possible, the last thing you said. It's very hard to look 50 years into the future and know what the technology is going to be like. And it could be at that point in time, informalization will be great. We would all say, oh, that's great. I work at home. I do my, you know, some people do that now, and that's good. That's you know, a good thing. No, I think the informalization is it's also a form of deregulation. You can't regulate a self-employed person because they're employing themselves. And whether it is or is not a form of wage reduction, clearly, if your choice is working for a major multinational or being an informal sector worker, it probably is, you know, you'd rather get that job for that big multinational firm. In some of the developing countries, it's not so clear, because if you go out and you form your own little business and you succeed, it may be that, you know, running that food stand in Beijing, you're doing better than you would do working for a Chinese. I'll bet money you'd do better than if you're working in a Chinese thing, building and making toys for children. So there it is a little, you know, less clear, I think. But it certainly is deregulation. I think one of the policy issues is, how do you get occupational health and safety standards? How do you get health care to people who are working in the informal sector, when traditionally we used working in firms as a way to deliver some social services, and certainly to identify you, to get you on the list for, say, a pension? That's the big issue in Latin America. I mean, they've done some interesting pension reforms in Chile, but as the informal sector grows, their pensions are covering a smaller and smaller proportion of the Chilean workforce. And you're going to have a problem as these people get older and they're not being covered by the Social Security system.
If you could just identify yourself, please.
My name's Tom Bentley, and I work in the Victorian Premier's Department. With your story, I think, is recognisable on a smaller scale in the pattern of change in Australia's labour markets over the last 10 years. The kind of steady movement is not always described as such, but it is a movement towards a more integrated international market for skilled workers, with active skilled migration policies, points-based entry requirements, and so on, and quite a significant movement of highly skilled Australians out into a diaspora. But at the same time, the industrial relations changes that we heard about before have in effect pushed us towards informalisation of a certain kind, and encouraged participation in those very flexible but low-status service sectors. So the question is, can you see, in imagining kind of next stages in policy development around the world, can you begin to see policy priorities that focus on the protection of labour in the terms that you just described, but which are also simultaneously a strong and positive on productivity growth?
Let me just break into two parts. For the formal sector, I see no problems, and I know we have a set of tools that probably would be very helpful. And Australia has some rules, some laws in this case. But certainly when workers are sharing in the profits through profit-sharing schemes, when they have own some shares in the company through employee share ownership schemes, those turn out to be positive for productivity, and they also actually make the wages more flexible, because if there's a downturn in the company, the nominal wage rigidity that she spoke of disappears. And they've been increasingly adopted. About 40% now of the American workers are paid under some form, you know, of that. And generally speaking, it's associated with that is some greater role for workers in the decisions in the firm. Because if they're going to be paid in part of profits, they want to be responsible for the decisions. For that part, I think we can deal with that. And actually, I wish the government here had been more positive about those kind of reforms, as opposed to fighting the old battles over industrial relations in a particular way. For the people who actually get into the informal sector, I think that's going to be a number one policy issue. It'll be the World Bank, the IMF, because the developing countries, it's way beyond, you know, what it does for our countries. But it's that one, I'm not sure how you deal with it. That's, to be honest, you can't have a traditional trade union. I'm not going to be bargaining against myself. So we do see in some places formations of groups of self-employed people, and you can now think of them as a small business group is one possible way of you know, the mom and pop stores have some kind of I think they need some assistance, possibly from government, possibly from larger firms, so that they have in front of them a list of policies or things that they could contribute for. Sri Lanka said they actually set up a thing, a social security system for the self-employed, in which they can make some contributions, and it's been mildly successful, let's say. And I think with the whole policy domain, we've got both the governments and the unions have got to think about what do we do with these people, who are going to be a huge fraction of the world's workforce. Because if they're a majority of the people in China and India and the developing countries, they're a majority of the people in the world. And this is, the new policy thing that I hope, we'll see how convincing I can be to the World Bank and the IMF, that they jump onto and say, this is the way we should be thinking. We should not be going down the route of saying the key thing is more flexibilization of the formal sector. That is not the problem of the future. The problem of the future is bringing the informal sector into the modern things that we can offer them in a flexible way, of course, but it's got to be, but that's the real issue as far as I can see.